One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Shammah, and it's recorded in 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 and 12. It says, "After him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." John Eldridge, in his book, All Things New, wrote, "Though we are trying to put a bold face on things, the human race is not doing well at all. Take any of our vital signs, you'll see. The rate of antidepressant use has gone through the ceiling in the last 20 years. Antidepressants have become the third most common prescription drug. We appear to be suffering from a great crisis of hope. By hope, I don't mean wishful thinking. I mean the confident anticipation that goodness is coming. If it is anything at all worth talking about, Christianity is supposed to be the triumphant entry of an astonishing hope breaking through into human history, a hope above and beyond all former hopes." So, church, one of the things we have to recognize about our mission and our calling and our purpose is that we are to share a message of wonderful hope. It is to be the cornerstone of what we do and how we do it. Hope. Excitement about what God is doing. Excitement about what God is doing in Forbush Baptist Church. Hope. God is moving here. God is doing good things here. Hope. It's the part of who we are. It's an essential part of who we are. We are the people who believe in the resurrection. We're the people who believe that you can put Jesus Christ in the grave, but he's coming out. You cannot stop Jesus in his work in this world. And as I look in this church, I believe God is doing something good here. You've got a good pastor. He preaches well, and he's wonderful with people. Sometimes you can get a good pastor who preaches real good, but not so great with people. But you've got a pastor who is wonderful as a preacher and with people. And that's something to be grateful for. And I think as this church moves forward, you're going to see God do some wonderful things. Hope. It's what we do. It's who we are. It defines us. It says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So what I want you to know is that we serve a God of hope. When you think about God, I hope you think hope, because our God is a God of hope. I don't care where you're at in your life, whether it be good or bad, happy or sad, our God is a God of hope. And if you as a believer have gotten the news that your time is short, and you may not be around too much longer, you say, "I serve a God of hope. And I believe, as the Bible says, that when I take my last breath here, I'm gone to heaven. Because my God is a God of hope. I'll always have hope." Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's what hope does. Hope fills you with joy and peace. But listen, hope comes when you believe. Hope comes when you believe. You see, Romans 15, 13, listen to it again. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." My friends, you need to abound in hope. We need to be a people who abound in hope. We cannot be knocked down. We cannot be defeated because we abound in hope. It's who we are as Christians. It's defining for us that we be the people of hope. Now, I know that life can come at you pretty hard sometimes, And I know that things can get difficult, but our hope doesn't quit, it doesn't fail, and it doesn't fade. As we look in the story of Shammah, I want to point out a couple of things about hope. And one of the things we have to recognize about hope is that hope sees the world a little bit differently. You see, where you're at in Shammah's situation, he was in a difficult place because at this time the Philistines were just dominating the Israelites. And what they would do is they'd have this field of peas or whatever it was they were planting. And they would tend that field and it would be just ready for harvest. And here they'd be out. And in this case, the community was out harvesting the field together. But over top the hill would be the Philistines. And they'd just be watching. And they'd wait until the Israelites had done all the work, had brought the harvest in, wait until they had all that good harvest in the baskets. And then they'd get on their horses. They'd draw their swords and they'd come flying across that field and take every bit of that harvest away from the Israelites. Shammah saw things a little bit different than the rest of them did. The rest of them ran, but Shammah stood. And that's because he saw something just a little bit different. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we see things differently. Our hope defines how we see things. Our faith changes how we see things. We know even when the things are hard and difficult, we can see things differently. For example, Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We have this faith that allows us to look up on the horizon and say, the Lord will help me. I know the Lord will help me. I look unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help is from the Lord. Our prayers come from a heart that is filled with faith, and that gives us hope. Lord, I need help. You begin to see things differently when you pray, when you believe. You begin to see a sense of hope that can't be taken away because you believe God is helping me. God is helping me. You know, Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you always. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, For we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm not talking about the way we see with our eyes. I'm talking about how our faith changes how we see things. How our faith changes how we look at situations. How it changes how we look at our spiritual lives or at our church. How our faith causes us to see with hope, with joyful anticipation. How our faith causes us to see God is at work. Even in the midst of a very difficult time, God is at work. Now, folks, the next thing that we have to do and recognize about our faith is our faith has to stand. Our faith has to stand. It's got to be strong enough to stand. I like something that Ignatius of Loyola prayed. He said, Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deserves, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do thy will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our faith has to stand. In the face of opposition, in the face of trouble, our faith has to stand. We have got to have the attitude of, it may not look good right now, but I'm not looking at things just solely with my physical eyes. I'm looking at things through my faith in God, and that gives me hope. In this story here, you discover, and we look at Shammah, here come the Philistines now into a troop, and Satan always seems to send trouble in a troop, doesn't he? Always seems to send trouble that just looks too big to stop. So here comes the troop, and it says that the people fled from the Philistines. They just ran. They all ran, except for one. And this is what I like about Shammah. He stood. He stood. Now, we got to believe something. We got to believe what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7. So Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so you'll be my disciples. So church, this is the prayer for Jesus, and Jesus wants this church to bear fruit. But Satan wants to come take that fruit away, doesn't he? Satan does not want this church to do well, but Jesus says, my prayer for you is that you bear fruit and that your fruit remain. See, it says in John 15 and verse 16, again, Jesus speaking, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So prayer is an essential part of this process of this church bearing fruit, of you as an individual Christian making a difference in this world. And this world needs people who make a difference. This world needs people who will love in the name of Jesus. This world needs people who walk with that hope in their heart. A little bit of a bounce in their step because they say, I serve a resurrected Lord. And so I believe. I believe and my faith stands. Satan wants to come and take the fruit away. And again, 2 Samuel 23 and verse 11, so the people fled from the Philistines. Many people do. Many people do. You know, I remember hearing a story about a pastor who got to preaching, and he was getting fired up, and he was saying, brothers and sisters, this church has got to stop sitting. We gotta get up and walk. And someone in the congregation said, amen, preacher, let her walk. And he said, no, brothers and sisters, it's not enough that we walk. This church has got to get up and run. And the man out in the congregation said, let her run, brother, let her run. And then the pastor, getting a little more fired up, he said, no, running's not enough. We got to fly, but to fly, we got to work a little harder and we got to give a little more. We got to make a few sacrifices. And the man out in the congregation said, let her walk, brother. Let her walk. You and I, we have to realize that our hope makes us different. Our hope makes us different in the way we serve the Lord. We serve with this spirit of excitement. God is going to do something. A pew full of children and children sitting on the floor is just the beginning. Just the beginning. There are children all over this community that need to hear, Jesus loves you. Get excited about what God is doing. Here's what I love about Shammah. It says in verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground. Everybody else was running, but he stood. Everybody else was fleeing as the Philistines came forward, their shields shining in the sun, their swords drawn. And everybody runs and they stop and say, Shammah, run, you've got to run. And Shammah says, I've worked all summer in this pea patch. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of quitting. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on this ground. I will not leave. I will not be defeated. I will stand. And he did. Everybody else ran. Everybody else fled. And there's Shammah. And here come the Philistines. And they're used to seeing everybody run. here they come. And Shama's just standing there and he's saying, fellas, keep on coming because I'm not going anywhere. I am not leaving this field. I'm not leaving this pea patch. I may die here, but I'll stay here. I'm going to be right here. I'm not going to be defeated. And I'm not going to flee. This is what I believe. And he stood. And you know God wants us to stand. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Do you think it's important for God that we learn how to stand on our faith? That we learn how to stand in hope? That we learn how to stand on the Bible? God says, I want you to stand. And we need to be a people that stand in faith and stand in hope. We need to be a people that says, I'm excited about what God is doing in my church, in my life, in my community. I have hope. I'm going to stand on that hope. I will not leave it. Trouble will come. Trouble will even come in a troop. But here I stand, and here I stay. You all remember the story of John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones was an American sea captain in the Revolutionary War, and Americans didn't have much money, so they had converted an old freighter and put some old cannon on it and named it the Bonhomme Richard. Well, the gunners were afraid to fire their guns because they were afraid that they would blow up in their face and kill them. The guns were so deteriorated. And so here they are, John Paul Jones and the Bonhomme Richard, sailing when here comes the mighty Serapis, a new British warship, one of the best fighting ships in the world at that time. And they're going to have to engage the Serapis in battle. Well, the Serapis had greater speed and their guns had far more range, so they began to fire broadside after broadside upon the Bonhomme Richard. Jones ordered his guns fired, but sure enough, several of them did explode and killed some of the crew. And the ship, the Bonhomme Richard, is now littered with dead and wounded. It's on fire. And the captain, the British captain of the Serapis, calls out over the waves, sir, spare the lives of your men. Are you ready to surrender? You all remember what John Paul Jones said. Surrender? We have not yet begun to fight. And somehow, by the end of the day, they had hooked grappling hooks to the Serapis. And the Marines had moved from the Serapis because it was sinking. I mean, from the Bonhomme Richard into the Serapis, and fighting in hand-to-hand combat, they took over the Serapis. Later on, the Bonhomme Richard did sink, but now they're on the Serapis. Church, when I talk about we need to have a hope and a faith that stands, that will not be moved, I know trouble's going to come. I know Satan's going to send trouble and heartache and difficulties into your life and into our churches. That's just the way things are. But we need to have a faith that says we've not yet begun to fight. We're not leaving this hope. We are standing here and we refuse to be moved. We believe what Jesus says and we believe that he's doing a great work amongst us. Our hope will not be defeated. Now, when you're willing to stand, God will use you to start something. God will use a church to start something good when he sees a church is willing to stand in hope, in joy, in peace, in faith. See, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Here's the point. Who's hiding behind the gates? Is it the church? No. Satan and his crew are the ones hiding behind the gates. And Jesus said, you as the church are to be advancing on those gates. In other words, the motto of the church should be charge. Charge! Do something, go somewhere, have a plan, have a mission, have an idea of what God wants you to do and how you're going to spread the exciting news that God loves us and that God helps us and that God is personal to us. He is our Father and we are His children. Jesus wants us to do something. He wants us to be a people on mission. You see, what did Shammah do? Shammah fought. When the Philistines came, he fought. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He stood there in that field and he fought. He did something and he defeated that troop. Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. Listen to those words. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, do something. For example, the trunk and treat that this church is doing. You're doing that as a witness, aren't you? You're doing that to spread the good news. You're going to share with whether it be a gospel tract or just a little message on a piece of paper or just the fact that kids see that church is there and these are people who are wanting to help me. You're going to do something. You're going to charge. You're not just going to sit and do nothing. You're going to do something. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And folks, I want us to understand that they did make a difference. They did believe that when the Holy Spirit has come, we receive power. Well, when we're born again, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. We're saved. We have a mission from God. He wants us to charge. He wants us to do something. He wants us to be a people who spread the good news of hope. And yet so many times I hear churches that are defeated, that believe, we're just barely holding on. We're just hanging on. Maybe we can keep the doors open long enough for the Lord to return. That's not an attitude of faith and hope, is it? That's not an attitude of excitement and joy, is it? No. Listen, we need to realize and recognize that we have power. We have power. You see, in that church in Acts, they knew they had power and they did something. Churches that don't believe they have power don't do anything. But I believe the Holy Spirit is the same. God has not changed. Jesus Christ has not changed. He's still resurrected. The grave is still empty. And I believe that through prayer and obedience, God calls us to charge the gates of hell. He wants us to take souls captive for Jesus. People who are lost and don't know where to go, and they have absolutely no hope. And he wants us to go out there and tell them, listen, I know what it was like to have no hope. But my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, came into my heart and life, and I believe. I believe that God is doing good things in this world. I believe it. I have hope. At the end of the Civil War, the Confederate Army was desperate for men and supplies. And so they were gathering everybody they could. And one day, a worn-down troop of Confederate soldiers came upon a barefoot country boy plowing a field. And so they inscripted him into the army right then and there, barefoot and all. They gave him an old rifle. He said, "Well, what do I do?" He said, "Well, your job," and this is what the captain told him, "your job is to kill and capture those men in the blue uniforms." And that's all they did. That's the only training this barefoot country boy had. "Your job is to kill and capture those men in the blue uniforms." Well, later on that day, they got into a skirmish with the Union soldiers, and they were defeated and scattered. And that evening, the remnant of the troop gathered together in a clearing in the woods, and they lit a fire, and they started looking around to see who was still there. And one of them said, "Well, what happened to that barefoot country boy?" Another said, "Well, I guess he got killed. We didn't teach him anything. We didn't even teach him how to fire that weapon. We just told him to capture and kill those men in the blue uniforms." And another person said, "Captain, you should have left him where he was. This is a lost cause. There is, you know, no use going on. I don't know why you did that." Well, about an hour later, they heard some people advancing through the woods toward them. They didn't know whether it was friend or foe, so they raised up on one knee and got their rifles to their shoulders. And into the light of the campfire comes this barefoot country boy with 13 Yankee soldiers tied together. And the captain looks at this fella and says, "Where in the world did you get them?" And the barefoot country boy says, "Fellas, get up and get with it. The woods is full of them." You know, my point is, the woods are full of sinners. There's a lot of people who are lost. A lot of people out there who really don't have much hope. Why is it that drug use is so rampant now in young people? Why is it that they take these drugs that will often cause them to die? And if it weren't for a quick response of life-saving measures, you know, they would die. Why? The answer, they just don't have any hope. They just don't have any hope. We are to be a people who are filled with hope. Because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be of all the people around us, the most excited, the most thrilled about what God is doing. And I hope that describes you. It comes from faith. It comes from getting into the Bible and reading those promises and getting a little bit excited about it, you know, a little bit excited. "Man, look at what this says. God will hear my prayer. The God of heaven and earth, the creator of all, will listen to my prayers. Look at what that says. I've got a home in heaven. No more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. One day that's my home." That ought to give you a little bit of something to be excited about. Hope, it is who we are based upon the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I hope you'll pray and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save your soul. And if you're here and you want to rededicate, you're welcome to come and pray with Pastor Justin. And so whatever God is speaking to your heart about, you come as he stands.